knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is everything. And one who knows this is the greatest of all transcendentalists. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that one realizes this after many, many births. And this is also confirmed in this verse with the words Divyam Varsha Shatam, 100 years according to the calculations of the demigods. According to the calculations of the demigods, one day, that is 12 hours, one night is another 12 hours. One day, 12 hours is equal to 6 months on earth. 100 years of the demigods would equal 36,000 earthly years. Thus King Malayavaja executed austerities and penances for 36,000 years. After this time he became fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. To live on earth for so many years, one has to take birth many times. This confirms the conclusion of Krishna. To come to the conclusion of Krishna consciousness and remain fixed in the realization that Krishna is everything, as well as render service unto Krishna, are characteristics of the perfectional stage. As said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Krita Hoya. When one comes to the conclusion that Krishna is everything, by worshipping or by rendering devotional service unto Krishna, one actually becomes perfect in all respects. Not only must one come to the conclusion that Krishna is everything, but he must remain fixed in this realization. This is the highest perfection of life, and it is this perfection that King Malayavaja attained at the end. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyadi Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srinivasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In this way he stayed immovable in one place for 100 years by the calculations of the demigods. After this time, he developed a pure devotional attraction for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and remained fixed in that position. This describes King Malayavaja, who attained perfect knowledge by coming to the platform of Krishna consciousness. It is described that he could see on this platform the super soul within the heart, and he was also surely aware, or fully aware, of his own spiritual identity as the soul, the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also became perfect in knowledge that he is actually not this physical body and the mind, but an eternal soul, the witness of mind, of the seer of the mind and of the body. This is the realization of King Malayavaja. It is a realization of perfect Krishna consciousness. Now, one point which is made here by Srila Prabhupada is that to actually understand that Krishna is the cause of all causes, and that it is actually Krishna to whom we have to surrender all our works. To understand this is really not such an easy thing. In this world, the eternal soul is somewhat in a disadvantage, a Nachteil, to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the mind cannot actually understand him. The soul is also in a disadvantage to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, since these material senses are not able to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our senses and our mind are not actually able to see. I want to give you a very simple example which has been given previously. Imagine that we have a very friendly and intelligent dog, and we put the Srimad Bhagavatam before his eyes. Now both his eyes and his mind will not be able to make sense of the Srimad Bhagavatam and understand the sublime subject matters. It is because the dog's senses and mind are not developed enough in order to read and understand. In much the same way, the conditioned souls, mind and senses are just too limited in order to understand the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore it is difficult for someone to understand and see Krishna. However, the difficult becomes easy if there is a process which makes the Supreme Lord visible. There are different processes which are given to the conditioned souls. I remember having a disputation or philosophical debate with one leader of the Orthodox Church in Beograd. He was also the head of the theological faculty, and we discussed, and he brought an argument to our attention. He said, how can the the extreme small ever hope to know the unlimited? Or how can the 1 liter bottle ever hope to have the whole ocean in the bottle? He said like this. So your Krishna consciousness movement is not possible. It's a very atheistic and naive attempt to gain God realization. Now, what would you have answered? Do you understand the argument? In fact, this argument appears in a different form in the Vedas again. The Vedas describe the Supreme Lord as beyond our possibilities to know him. They say, they stress at certain portions the impersonal understanding of the Lord by saying that he has no qualities, so that we need to understand. See, if we understand anything, it is by the qualities. For instance, this book, understand. You understand by the qualities, and it's a rupa form. You understand by the color, and so on. Imagine this book stands wouldn't have qualities like form and color, and the smell. It doesn't smell very much, but there's a little smell, I suppose. You wouldn't be able to understand it. So, by describing the Supreme to be nirgun, without quality, the Vedas make a point that we cannot understand him. He's inconceivable, achintya. He's beyond the names and qualities and forms. So what are we doing here? Should we maybe go all home now? Where are our brahmanas? Ramapriya.
Like he gave the example with the bottle in the ocean.
Yeah.
We cannot understand the Supreme Lord fully, but we can understand him in truth.
Mm-hmm. Like in the bottle, you say, not the whole ocean can come in, but at least we can understand salty, it's watery, and so many things we can understand.
Yes. We can understand the qualities of the ocean.
The qualities.
They are also in the bottle.
Yeah. How can you, who are so limited, whose senses and mind are so crippled in a way, understand something of Krishna? It's a very nice answer. I think it's a very good answer. Narayani said, I will translate it in English, that by the help of the spiritual master we can experience the truth, since he has seen it. Now it is interesting to note here that Prabhupada once told us, when you see Krishna, he looks completely different than you think now. That's the point which Ramapriya Prabhu made. He said, well, we can understand something about him, but not totally the quantity. Well, the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 8th canto talks about the process of knowledge. I will in a little while say what this process is, but first let us understand how by a process one can understand or see something which previously was not to be understood or not seeable. The example is given of the milk in the bag of the cow, the milk bag of the cow. You can't see it, but by a process, which would be you milk the cow, it becomes visible. Or the example has been given of gold underneath the earth. You are not able to see it. Maybe you can see some symptoms, I mean the vegetation, you can study the kind of stones which are there. And then by a certain process you can dig up the earth. First you have to find, and you have to know where to dig, but then you can win the gold. Then you have to take it from, I think gold usually, when you find it in nature, is combined with other metals which are not really the ones you look for, like iron and so on. You have to heat it, and there is a process how you can separate the unedel, the not so well, the, how to say in English, the other metals from the gold metal. There is a process. So in the same way, there is a process of knowledge how you can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the most important point of this process is austerity. I think in Yugoslavian you say stravost or something like this. Stravost. What? Stravost. Yes, stravost. This austerity is certainly very important for to be able to understand things which are beyond your perception. By intellectual speculation, mental speculation, you can maybe understand something which is beyond your senses, but which lies still in the material world. This process is called, in philosophical language, hypothesizing, as a hypothesis of Stern. To give you an example, just now you have heard a sound coming through the window, and we can make the hypothesis that this sound comes from a truck and Lastwagen. We can do so. Most probably it also comes from a truck. If you would have positioned someone at the window and asked him, now tell us what, just see what came through, and then we will make our guesswork, and then we can check if what we thought this car is actually the car. We can do something like this. However, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood by this process because he is beyond the material sphere. However, the Supreme Lord becomes satisfied if you revert, as umdrehen, the process of perception. You no longer go through the senses, but you stop the activities of the senses, and you purify your mind and your senses from the tendency to enjoy in this world, and then the Lord will reveal himself. This is a process of surrender to the will of the Supreme. This is a very important point in our Krishna consciousness movement. And someone who is not willing to undergo the process of strogos, austerity in his life, will not be able to understand the Supreme Personality of God. It's simply like this. In a Chaitanya Charitamrita, you understand this by the quotation that the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is based on this austerity. You also understand this subject from a verse in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, one moment, Bhogaishvaya prasakta nantaya parita chedasam, something, samaru, and then samaru navidiyate. It means that those who are attached to the external world of sense gratification, and riches, having wealth, are not able to really develop the determination for devotional service. They will not be able to follow this sublime transcendental path in their life. Everyone in any state of life has to practice this austerity. There are austerities of the mind, there are austerities of speech, and there are austerities of speech and thought. These austerities have been mentioned in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Austerity of mind and thought is to attempt to think those thoughts which are where you remain satisfied. You have to learn to become satisfied in your life by what you find there. You have to give up the passionate endeavor of the mind to constantly woe, also buhlen in Deutsch, woe for attention, recognition, praise, and so on and so forth. Austerities of the mind also mean to pull it back from sense gratificatory activities. Then there are austerities of the body. So very interesting to note that the austerities of the body are service to the brahmanas. It is also bowing down. That's an austerity of the body. Bow down, devotee. Hare, hare, hare. That's an austerity of the body. Show respect to superiors. Then there is an austerity of the speech. That means to speak those subjects which are in harmony or in tune with the scriptures. Anyone who wants to become happy and peaceful in this world has to practice these three kinds of austerities, which you can read and understand better from reading in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Please do so if you are in need of some fresh mint, so to say, in your life. Now, one thing is, whilst we are talking about austerities and the value of austerity, which can detach a person from material life, we should not go, Prema, you are a little unattentive, please give us your attention again. We should not misunderstand the subject. It is not that by austerities alone or by knowledge alone you can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once there was a brahmachari who only drank one cup of milk a day. He was very renounced and austere. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his Adi Lila, that means the beginning of his earthly pastime, he used to come with all the devotees to Srivashangam, that's the house of his very dear devotee Srivas. He performed very, very amazing and transcendental pastimes. For instance, once Srivas was engaged in worshipping his Nrisimhadev deity. Then all of a sudden he heard a noise before his house. And there was some wild banging on the door. He became afraid because it sounded so wild and powerful. So then all of a sudden the door broke in. And he saw outside Lord Chaitanya, who had assumed the form of Nrisimhadev. And he said, "I am the one who are worshipping. I'm here, I'm here." And Shiva just fell down and offered his prayers. Prayer of Sri Haswami. Namaste Narasimhaya Pralada Ladadhayani. So, and then a little later, Mahaprabhu always came to perform this kirtan pastime. So this brahmachari, who by hearsay had heard about the transcendental ecstasy going on in the during the night in Srivas Thakur's house, sat before the door, thinking himself to be qualified due to his milk or due to his fasting from any other food or drink than milk. But Mahaprabhu did not allow him to enter. Because by austerity, something happens. And please understand this. This is you have never heard about this point. It's a point made by Jiva Goswami. Your heart becomes stern and stony. Steinig. Sometimes philosophers raise an argument. If this world is a correction house for the eternal soul, then why is there so-called happiness? Why is there not just suffering? You understand? If there would be only suffering, then we could easily understand nicht schlafen, das ist sehr wichtig für dich. then we could understand, if there is only misery, we could understand this world is so terrible. It is not our proper home. This is the argument. You follow? But because there is this illusory feeling, there is this feeling of happiness, call it temporary, call it illusory, call it not real, that is all granted. But because there is this feeling, we don't have any realization of this. So let us talk very practically, let us talk about the summertime 1992, where in the temples of the movement, wild speculations about and young minds happened about maybe there is some side or where we can enjoy in a God-conscious religious way in this world. The very young bhaktas sometimes, when we had this very populated bhakta program here in Heidelberg, sometimes our young bhaktas would be seen in the town looking around for pleasure. And there was one bhakta who was famous for this. So why is there this sense of happiness, which is sometimes making life difficult even for someone walking on the spiritual path? This is the argument. It's a good argument, isn't it? So Jiva Goswami makes a point. He says, first of all, he establishes that the happiness we can feel in the material world is extremely limited by many factors. For instance, the time, the place, the circumstance. It is coming and it is going. It is usually accompanied with pain. So he says that, but there is a relevance for this happiness in our life. It gives us an understanding that here is only a mere reflection of happiness. If there is something which is, it is only a very limited form of happiness. It makes us hanker for the eternal happiness, for the real happiness. In this way, the happiness here is, so to say, a hint for the real happiness in the spiritual world. It makes us eager and it makes us anticipate, and it gives us some understanding that the real thing is somewhere else. It's just like we have heard this often also from Prabhupada, that if we see a reflection in the water of a fruit, for instance, we become hungry and we become reminded of the real apple or real fruit which we want to enjoy. So the existence of a limited thing or even a false thing indicates the existence of the real thing, just like false money indicates for instance, the existence of real money. That's why there is not only misery. We would be only miserable from morning to evening. We would have no impetus, because we would have no idea to search for spiritual happiness. Do you understand this? Yeah? Also the tired girl can understand. We would not be... So someone who practices too much austerity, like the milk brahmachari, or the only milk brahmachari, he has no, you know, real idea for transcendence, for bhakti. Therefore, austerity is not the means. Devotional service is the means. But in order to execute devotional service, of course, we have to perform some austerities. Therefore, four regulated principles are given. Therefore, sadhana is given to us. You know, sadhana, performing activities. Even if you do not feel at a given time to perform them, you still come to the morning program and do other things like you do. We have seen this very much in our own movement. For instance, those who never went on Sankirtan and did not have the pleasure to perform this austerities, they have sometimes difficulties to understand something which is beyond, let us say, their immediate vision. However, those who did only austerities before they joined the Krishna consciousness movement, they have difficulties also to understand the simple processes given in Krishna consciousness. So both is not favorable. That means only austerities, which make the heart stone-like, and where you don't see, where you just have miseries, inflict yourself miseries, and you do not have an idea for a higher spiritual goal, a higher spiritual pleasure, and so too much austerity is not good, and also no austerity is also not good. Life of a devotee, therefore, has to be done like this. We have to find a devotional service, and for this devotional service, in order to upkeep it, we do everything favorable and we reject all the things which are unfavorable for the execution of this devotional service. In order for a Vaishnava to do this, really, he needs to understand his own situation, his own constitutional position as an eternal soul within a material body, who needs desperately the mercy of Krishna. And he needs to really learn to feel and to think and to will to recognize the presence of the Supreme Lord. Now, in order for us poor souls to help us, the Vaishnava scriptures have given us several possibilities whereby which we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead to some extent. I'm coming now, closing now this lecture by answering the point which was raised by Amfiofia Pilotovich or someone like this. I forgot his name, the head of the theological faculty in Beograd. The point is that the Supreme Lord, seeing the disadvantages for receiving or recognizing or even understanding him a little bit, has given us five very potent ways to make contact with Him. One way is, of course, to chant the holy name in an attentive way. Please, these five processes are the summarization, zusammenfassung, of the Sadhan Bhakti practices. But even if we are beyond Sadhan Bhakti, that means we are on the high platform of Raganuga Bhakti, these five processes will still remain of utmost value for us. One Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked what is the difference between Sanatana Dharma or Krishna consciousness and any other philosophical or other process for God realization. And he gave a very interesting argument. He said, in Krishna consciousness or Sanatana Dharma, he gave the answer that in Krishna consciousness the means is identical with the goal. You understand? That means Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, is identical with God realization. Sadhya? No. Sadhan is like sadhya. So, and I think you remember the example of the beggar who came to the king in order to see gold. And the king showed him a stairways to the gold. He went to the staircase, opened the door at the end of the staircase and saw gold, and also understood, well, the staircase which I took in order to reach there and see the gold was also from gold. So in the same way, the process which you take and the goal which you attain is same. The same in Bhakti Yoga. What is different between someone who has attained the goal and someone who's on the way to the goal is only the level of his realization. Good. Yes. Yes, these five processes are, which you will always do if you don't leave the Krishna consciousness, but which you will realize in different degrees, is to chant the holy name, it's called Krishna Nama, with full attention and with samras. Even Srimati Radharani, when she feels separated from Krishna, asked small gopis and manjaris to chant before her the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And when she hears the sound of the mantra, she all her pains of separation from Krishna become relieved, and she feels Krishna's presence entering through her ears. So, on our neophyte level, still in the material world, chanting Hare Krishna is there. And also the topmost devotee, the expansion of Krishna, Srimati Radharani takes great pleasure in the chanting of the holy name. Krishna Nama Bhagavat Smaran, that means remembrance of Krishna through the pages and philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the second process which remains of utmost importance. Then Mukti Seva, that is serving the Lord who has appeared in the form of the deity.